The Compatibility Dilemma by Mags Jenker. A lot of XBAC advice glosses over compatibility, assuming most people have an intuitive grasp of it and know why it's so important to a successful relationship. There are two reasons for this. The first is because there is simply more demand for advice on the nuts and bolts of reattraction, like knowing what to say, when to kiss an ex, how to not look needy, how to use no contact, and so on. The second reason is more serious, because talking about compatibility simply isn't good for business. You see, unlike most reattraction-related areas, compatibility can be faked, changed, or controlled. It's either there or it's not. And let's be honest, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear how they are probably incompatible with their ex, despite a breakup being a literal sign of incompatibility. For better or worse, the ignoring stops here. If you want a lasting and functional relationship with your ex, you must be somewhat compatible. There is no going around it. More specifically, you must somewhat align on four areas of compatibility: identity, chemistry, sexual harmony, and interests. The more, the merrier. Let's tackle them one by one. Number one, identity. Identity mainly boils down to values, beliefs, and lifestyle choices. Values being guiding principles that we find important and base our actions on. Beliefs being ideas and opinions we believe are true. And lifestyle choices being the ways we choose to live our lives based on our distinct values and beliefs. You and your ex must have these things aligned, otherwise your relationship probably won't work out. Thankfully, an average person only gets romantically involved with another if they share a similar identity. High achievers will usually get in relationships with other high achievers. Health nuts will usually mingle with other health nuts. Intellectual and cultured folk will usually stick to people who are equally intellectual and cultured. Party hound socialites will usually flirt and fuck with other party hound socialites. Close-minded, lazy drunks will usually attract other close-minded, lazy drunks. People who value cleanliness usually jive with people who likewise value cleanliness. Conservatives valuing family and religion will usually get involved with other conservatives valuing the same things. In a nutshell, like attracts like. And two people with different identities repel each other, sometimes violently. Pay attention to this stuff. Number two, chemistry. Chemistry is essentially an unconscious emotional bond that keeps you and your ex excited about each other. Think of it as a reaction of your personalities and emotions aligning in a certain stimulating way. It's chemistry that makes all the hours you spend together with your ex go by like seconds. It's chemistry that propels you to want to constantly cuddle and have them by your side. It's chemistry that makes fucking them so bat-shatteringly come all over the wall amazing. It's chemistry that tricks you into thinking your ex is the love of your life, despite them dating felons, blaming you for their depression, or cheating on you with your best friend. But unlike a stark disconnect in identity, a lack of chemistry doesn't necessarily repel your ex. It just makes your relationship kind of dead and boring, sometimes even asexual. What exactly does chemistry entail? No one really knows. Still, there are best guesses. The best one stating that it's a mix of shared values, vulnerability, and complementary personality traits. So the more alike your values are, the more vulnerable you can be with each other, and the more complementary your personality across dimensions like extroversion, agreeableness, openness, conscientiousness, etc., the more chemistry you should, in theory, have with your ex. 3. Sexual harmony. This area basically encapsulates physical attractiveness and sexual preferences. Let's begin with the former. I know this is obvious to most, but if you want to create something lasting with your ex, or even if you're just interested in a hookup, you must be physically drawn to them, and they have to be physically drawn to you. This physicality threshold will vary from person to person. But it will also vary depending on where you are in your life and how desperate you are at the time. Regardless, ensure your ex does it for you in the looks department and vice versa. Hopefully, none of you have let yourselves go. As for the sexual preferences part of sexual harmony, this simply refers to being on the same page regarding lovemaking. Does one person enjoy discussing sex and the other doesn't? Does one person like to talk dirty and the other doesn't? Do you prefer to be on top or bottom? What does your ex prefer? Is one person more kinky than the other? Are you guys into dress up? How about oral, giving and receiving? Do you like to masturbate in front of each other? What about phone sex? How do you feel about that? How many times a week do you like to have sex? Was a disconnect in desires that ended in unmet needs a regular occurrence? These are all questions you must consider to accurately determine how compatible you are with your ex in terms of sexual harmony. Now, if you discover that sparks just aren't flying in the bedroom, yet you're both determined about it and working towards mending your relationship, you should be open to experimentation, couple counseling, and even sex coaching. 4. Interests. The theory goes that you need many identical interests with your ex to make your relationship run smoothly, mainly because these identical interests allow for spending quality time together. Well, based on hundreds of couples I've helped till now, I just don't buy into this idea. I've seen too many of them rekindle things and maintain a healthy and enjoyable relationship in spite of sharing little to no identical interests with their other half. For this reason, I'm convinced you don't have to have any identical interests with your ex to make things work. And while it certainly does help, what's actually far more important is sharing a few similar interests, at least one or two. Hiking versus running, baking desserts versus grilling meat, meditation versus walking, painting versus photography, swimming in the sea versus the lake or river, working in animal shelters versus working with kids or the elderly, traveling to the Western world versus the Eastern world, reading about economics versus listening to a podcast about political philosophy. You get the idea. In search of flawless compatibility. A question I often receive after yammering on about this subject is whether or not you have to be 100% compatible with an ex to make things work. The answer is no. As I mentioned at the beginning of this article, all you need to be is somewhat compatible. Being so is enough. Besides, it's just unrealistic to think you'll be fully compatible with anyone. There will always be something that will bother you about your ex, and vice versa. And even if by some miracle there aren't any incompatibilities between you, which I doubt, there is no guarantee that things will stay that way next week, next month, or in 10 years. You, me, your ex, people change. Broadly speaking, aim for being about 70 to 80% compatible with your ex. Is there a way to measure this? Fuck no. The percentages come down purely to subjective feelings. But aside from that, being 70 to 80% compatible is still more than enough to have a well-functioning and lasting relationship. Granted, there's still balloon and attraction on your ex's side, and you took care of the emotional baggage that contributed to your breakup. As for the remaining 20 to 30%, just forget about it. It's dealing with your partner's flaws, irritating quirks, and mild incompatibilities that will ultimately make a relationship meaningful and fulfilling. We are attracted to each other's rough edges, after all. That said, if you're not about 70 to 80% compatible with your ex, move on and find someone else. You'll thank me later. And while you may argue that since people change, your ex will eventually change as well and perhaps become compatible, I'd still say it's not worth waiting for the breakthrough. It's not worth waiting simply because life's short. That and because hanging onto an ex you're incompatible with just shows a massive lack of self-respect and esteem, which no one appreciates or finds appealing. So in many ways, Waiting for them to return will paradoxically just repel them further away.